Go for it and the Lord will take care of it. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. Today's Bible verses are from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples, and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them: the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, or a traveler's bag, or an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. There is a statue of Saint Damien in front of Honolulu State Capitol Building, if you go to Hawaii. The Molokai Island in Hawaii was where the lepers got sent in a big group. Saint Damien went there and told people about the gospel. "God loves you," he told the people this, but they did not accept it. The lepers said, "Because you are healthy, you cannot understand our pain," and they rejected him. Damien prayed to God like this: "Let me have the same pain as them and with them together, so please, let me have leprosy too." One day he saw a spot mark on his face and he prayed to God in tears and thanked him for it. "Dear my brothers, now I am a leper like you. God still loves me, even though I have a disease." Like this, as he spread the gospel as a leper, so many people got to come to the Lord and accepted the Lord as their Savior. This person is Saint Damien. His statue has been placed in front of the Honolulu State Capitol Building in Hawaii. He put Christ on him, and to spread the gospel, he even gave his life for the Lord. That was a person of the Lord, Damien. People like these are true disciples of Jesus, and these are the people that have the heart of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul said, "God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. There is no part which is not important in our body. Imagine you have no eyes. How uncomfortable would that be? Imagine that you have no arms. That would be really uncomfortable. But imagine that you have no heart. If you do not have a heart, it is not a matter of having comfort, but it is related to death. Therefore, having a heart in our body is that important to us." One of the elders had a heart surgery. He had to take out a heart and store it in a freezer, and had to have an operation with an artificial heart in him. And then later, he put his own heart in him again. Now he is very healthy. But what he said to me was this: "When I was told that my heart is to be removed from me, I thought this was my time to die." That's what he thought, and he went into the operation theater. A heart is this important. Having a heart is this important to us, because it is directly related to having life. Christians are the people who have a heart of Jesus, like a confession of Paul. People who know the redemption grace, saving grace of Jesus, who have a heart of Jesus, they cannot stop telling others about gospel. The early church people were like that. As they spoke about Jesus to others, they were whipped and were jailed. When people threatened them not to tell people about Jesus, they even questioned them. Confidently and firmly they asked them, "Are we to listen to you or listen to the words of God? We are the witnesses who have seen our Lord dying on the cross and been raised up again," and they were not afraid to die to share the gospel. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24, Paul says, "But my life is worth nothing to me, unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling the good news about the wonderful grace of God." What is gospel? So he is saying that for this, that he is willing to give his life up for this. Gospel is life. If you listen to the gospel, the life becomes alive. Therefore there must be people who tell about this. Paul said, "If he does not share the gospel, he reckons that things are not right." The Lord also said, "If you have the fire to share the gospel in you, and that fire has been lit within you, then what more would I want? In Romans 10:13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In verse 17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ." Someone will get to believe in Jesus and get saved if there's a person who tells about the gospel. Last time I went to Middle East to speak at the conference, I met a missionary there and heard the testimony. He spoke in tears and said, in 7 years of him serving there, a Muslim person changed his religious belief and for the first time, he gave a Muslim a baptism. He was in tears and was overwhelmed by the fact that it was all possible by the grace of God. I thought about a lot of things as I heard this. For one lost soul, this missionary spent 7 years of his life, shared the gospel to the people there and overwhelmed by the fact that this soul got to know Jesus and accepted him as his savior and been saved. His heart was already like a heart that has experienced an everlasting heaven, glad with joy. The Lord firstly longingly looked for the people to harvest. Firstly, in verse 2, have a look at the heart of the Lord that seeks for the harvest workers. The Lord works through the people. Therefore he looked for people. The Lord does not work directly. So he called Abraham, called Moses. So the Lord called 12 disciples, he trained them and sent them to the world and these people shook the world. Today he seeks the harvest workers, especially the people who are willing to work and harvest for him. From this October to December this year, till the end of the year, I would like to encourage all of you to start working on saving a person per person. This year, as I look back on what I have done so far, in the second half of 2013, I'm not sure whether I would say confidently to the Lord that I have brought a lot of people to you. What is the action that the Lord is most pleased with? That is the saving the souls. A father's heart that waits for the prodigal son who left home to come back, a shepherd's heart that wanders and looks for a lost sheep, that would represent a father's heart that waits for the lost soul to come back to him. In the first half of the year, if you have not brought a soul to the Lord yet, then I hope the second half would be your opportunity to please the Lord. At least, if you have been Christian for 10 years, then you would have read the Bible 10 times at least, and you should be able to think of 10 people that came to believe in Jesus and got saved because you brought them forward to the Lord. So far, as you have been a Christian, through you, how many people can you think of that came to believe in Jesus? You have been given titles as church deacons, elders in church, but because of your help, how many people got to believe in Jesus? An acupuncturist was counting money he earned for the day and at that moment, he felt the Holy Spirit came and spoke to him. Today, again, to the people that you have met, how many have you told about Jesus? He repented and cared for the people that he shared the gospel with from that day. But God worked for him and blessed him even more. I heard his testimony. Who are the workers that God is looking for? These are the gospel tellers. He called them harvesters. He said there are a lot of things to harvest, but workers are few. The Lord looks for the harvesters eagerly and tells us that the time to harvest is going to come soon. I think this is the time. We see the signs one by one every day, the signs that would be seen so frequently in the final days of the world. It is because the time of the second coming of the Lord is very close. After the second coming of the Lord, there is no opportunity for the souls to be saved. The door of the salvation would be closed, so even if we wanted, it would not be possible to tell the gospel. As the time passes by, we see more of horrendous disasters, like grand-scale earthquakes, that happen more frequently these days. Glaciers and icebergs, that had been frozen for a few thousand years, are melting down due to the weather changes. These are the warning signs that tell us that the end of the world is coming soon. That is because we do not know when our final day is for each and every person here. We are healthy, so we have come to church to worship our Lord. But we do not know when God would call us, we do not know when He would call our lives. So we need to be prepared in faith always, and we need to be awake, and alert, and before the person that we would share the gospel with dies, we need to share the gospel as soon as possible. If we lose the chance, then we cannot save that person forever. Everything has its chance. Sharing the gospel as well, there is timing. If we miss the opportunity to save those lives, then these souls would fall down into everlasting death. So we need to take action as soon as possible. The phrase that says it is a time to harvest is, a time to settle the accounts is near. A time of evaluation is getting really close. That means, the time of the Lord's second coming is close. We need to know this. Regret is different from an opportunity. Regretting is what a person who lost an opportunity would do. For example, I will share a story with you to illustrate this. Because of the financial difficulty, this student went to a school that waived school fees. This student had to go back to the school's halls of residence every Monday, but had no money to spend there. He had no money, so lived with his mum that had a disability. One evening, his mum went to his halls of residence to see him. The son was ashamed of his mum, who had disability, and was angry, "Why did you come here?" His mum passed some money that had been folded several times and said, "My son, I am sorry, this is all I have." At that moment, he was ashamed of his mum, who had a disability in her hand, so he slammed the door in front of her and went into his room. This son later lived a bad life and was jailed. His mum saw him and kept weeping. He realized that he should be the one to repent. "Ma'am, I am sorry, please wait for me for a while only. Once I serve the sentence, I will work hard and I will treat you well, Mum." Mum said, "Yes, son, even that takes time, I will wait for you." Once he was out of the jail, to keep the promise with his mum, he worked very hard. Until he saved a big lump of money, he decided not to see his mum, and he did not go home even in the holiday. Like those 3 years have passed, and just before the New Year's holiday, he prepared a gift for his mum. He thought that it was time to see his mum. But that day, his younger brother called him. "Mum waited for you for 3 years every day, waiting to see you on the streets, and she had a car accident, just yesterday, she passed away, just yesterday." He held the gift for his mum tightly, and wept endlessly and read the letter that he wrote to his mum. "Ma'am, why couldn't you wait a day?" "Ma'am, you should have waited one more day." As I read his letter that pleaded mum to wait one more day for him, I also cried a lot. That son kept weeping, and he could not serve his mum as he had hoped. Regret and opportunity contrast from each other. These are totally different things. I hope you do not lose the opportunity, and I hope you do not regret. Life does not work by regretting. We should not let the opportunity pass by. We should not miss the opportunity to share the gospel. Then, who should we share the gospel with? That would be the people that we meet frequently, on everyday basis. In our home, at work, school, these are the people that we meet and interact with every day. They are the target group that needs to hear the gospel. The people that newly moved into the area, the people who used to believe in Jesus but have now stopped, the people who got to know about Jesus and got baptized in the army, but who have stopped attending church services, the people who are wandering spiritually and being lost, the people like these are everywhere, and there are many people like these. Secondly, let's have a look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Do not take any money with you, or a traveler's bag, or an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road." What does "do not take" mean here? It does not mean that we do not need things like these. It does not mean do not prepare these. These are all the things that we need, and these are the things that we need to prepare for in advance. But why did the Lord say "do not take" these? He is saying trust and rely on the power of the Lord more than things like these. We can see the power of the Lord by looking at the confession of 72 harvesters. They spread the name of the Lord, and in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 says, firstly, they saw demons getting defeated. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Secondly, in verse 18, it says, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. In verse 19, it says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Therefore, it says, do not be swayed to the right or to the left. In other words, do not stop to greet anyone on the road. Do not stop to say hi to anyone. Which meant, only depend on the Lord, and spread the gospel. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow, and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I hope and pray that you only depend on God and spread the gospel, tell others about the blood of Jesus with confidence and boldness. In verse 5, the Bible says, whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. So wherever you go, bless that place so that they will have peace. Spreading the gospel is spreading peace to people whoever we encounter. Christians are, people of faith, are, and the people that have peace. It is because we serve the Lord within us as we live. The Lord is an origin of peace. He came to this land to give peace and said to the disciples, I have come to the world to give you peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. The first word that he spoke after he resurrected was have peace within you. Everybody wishes to have peace. But there are not many people who say that they are peaceful. They have possessions they own, but they have no satisfaction. They have enjoyment, but have no true rest. A person tried to draw the image of Jesus, so he wandered around the streets. Then he saw a person singing praise songs in a church choir full of joy. He drew an image of Jesus. After several years, he decided to draw an image of Satan. One day, he saw a drunkard who was unable to walk properly, and told him that he wants to draw him. He could see the image of Satan in his face. This person cried, and said, a few years ago, you saw me and drew an image of Jesus. Now I left Jesus, and that image of Jesus had been turned into an image of Satan. That's right. To have true peace and rest, there must be a spirit of Jesus within heart. So the Lord said, bless each other by saying peace be with you. The Jewish people greet each other by saying shalom. Shalom means peace. Christians firstly bless each other by wishing each other peace. In verse 6, it says, if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. When we bless each other to have peace, the Lord guarantees it. But if that receiver of blessing rejects it, that peace comes back to the person who firstly said this. Peace comes back to the person. So whoever you meet, wish them to have peace. Bless others. Let's turn to the person sitting next to you, and let's greet each other. God loves you. God blesses you. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27, it says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. So bless others like this. Then in verse 27 he said, God will bless them. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, God wants us to bless the other people. Bless the others always while you live. In this life, it will come back to you like a boomerang returns. A person that blesses others also gets blessings from others. Especially, I hope and pray that you all be peacemakers that bless others whoever you encounter. Telling others about Jesus and sharing the gospel is blessing them and wishing them to have peace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.